So for the past few weeks, we've been in a series called Get in the Game, and in high school has been playing for a couple weeks already, but I'm sure most of you yesterday, your TV was on all day watching college football, because college football's back. So getting in the game with watching your team and being excited about that and eating all the snacks. And so when we talked about getting in the game, we've been going through Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. And it's just this picture we see of the start of the New Testament church. And so in Acts 2, right there at the very beginning of Acts 2, the Holy Spirit fills all believers on the day of Pentecost. And so we just see this start of a movement, the start of the Holy Spirit living inside believers. And those believers start meeting together and spreading the gospel. In Acts 2, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to praying, to taking care of each other's needs, attending the temple together, and breaking bread in each other's homes. And so as we think about that and just get that picture of this New Testament church, just the start of the church and just how that happened, kind of our big overarching question is, what is we see the church starting here, they're meeting together, they're breaking bread in each other's homes, they're going to the temple together, but what is the church? What is this fellowship that we have together? And Scripture's pretty clear. It gives us in several different places, it gives us this picture of a body. And so we want to think a physical body with arms, with legs, with fingers, with toes. You can't see my toes wiggling, but they are. All these different organs, all these different parts that make up one body. And so I have a Colton fun fact for you today. So this is just one day. If you're playing trivia and a question about me comes up, you'll be ready for it. And so this is my fun fact when, you know, when you're in those awkward situations and you're in a circle and they say, everybody share a fun fact about yourself. This one's mine, so I'll go ahead and ruin it for you. I've broken my left arm 5 times. So if you're playing Jeopardy and they say, how many times has Colton broke his left arm? You can say, what is 5? Or however you want to word that. So what is 5? So not at one time in 5 different spots, but 5 separate times. The first one was on a trampoline. Then there was one on a skateboard. So I know, kids, I'm ruining your Christmas list because your parents are like, nope, nope. One was playing yard football with friends, and then the last two were both in baseball games. And then the very last one, actually, I had to have a screw put in my elbow. I've had my arm in braces, I've had the partial cast, and I've had the full cast with the whole sling and the whole thing there. And this is back before they started making them waterproof. So we'd have to go through the whole nightly ritual of putting on the plastic wrap or garbage bags or sticking it out the side of the shower. And I know what you're thinking. Colton, didn't you ever learn to drink milk? And the answer is no, I can't. It does bad things. But what I can do now is I can tell you when it's going to rain, and I can tell you when a storm's about to come in. And I know some of y'all have that special ability too. But thankfully, I was skilled enough to only break my left arm since I'm right-handed. So I was still able to write and to eat and wipe, you know, all the important things. But what I did not realize fully until my arm was confined to a cast and I was not able to use it, was just how important each part of our body is. How much I was limited by not being able to use my arm, or how much each part really does work together to make the body whole. And so today I just want us to look at a passage in Ephesians. And when we get to the book of Ephesians, Paul spends chapters 1, 2, and 3 just really digging in deep to the doctrine of salvation. And this is where we read, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, that it's not your own doing, it's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." Paul also tells us in the first couple of chapters that we have redemption through the blood of Jesus. And we all, both Jew and Gentiles, are fellow heirs and members of the same body and the same promise and the same inheritance. And then as we get to the rest of Ephesians, chapters 4, 5, and 6, Paul moves from just explaining doctrine or teaching to get really practical. And he moves in, how do we live in light of this doctrine and teaching? How do we walk as believers? So in this section that we're going to read today, there's both an individual aspect, how do I live out my salvation? What part do I personally play? But there's also a corporate element. How do we walk together and live out this salvation together? What does my individual walk play into the greater body and the greater picture? So if you will, go ahead and start turning to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read verses 1 through 16 together. And as we've been doing, I'm going to ask you to stand as we honor the reading of God's word. And so Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, this is Paul writing to the church in Ephesus and to all the saints, and he says, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." We're going to do something really crazy here. We're going to read verses 4, 5, and 6 together out loud. So if you don't have the ESV, it's on the screen. And verse 4 says, "There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." I'll continue from there. "But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. And saying he ascended, what does it mean? But he also descended into the lower regions, the earth. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." Let's pray. Our God, we are so thankful for the truth of your word. And we just pray that right now that your Spirit would work inside our hearts to make us look more like Christ and to grow your body. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. So like we said, yesterday was probably a full football day in your house. So as we kind of think of this theme of get in the game, and we think about a team, whether that's a football team, a baseball team, a basketball team, when we think about those teams, it's made up of players. And each player has a position, and each position has a role. Each player and position contributes to the team and makes the team whole. And so today, I want us to think about that picture as we think about the church. As we think about what the church is, we think about this fellowship. Think going back to Acts chapter 2 and the church starting, we quickly realize and we see in Scripture that the church is the body of Christ. So there are three things we see about the body in this passage in Ephesians 4. So as you're following along, this, like I said, three things. The very first one we see in Ephesians chapter 4 is the body walks in a manner worthy of the calling it has been called to. The body walks in a manner worthy of the calling it has been called to. Paul starts off saying, therefore, and everybody's pretty much trained by now to ask, well, what's it there for? So what Paul's saying is what I'm urging you to do is based on the doctrine of salvation and the work of Christ and the mystery that both the Jew and the Gentiles are brought near to God and made a part of his body that chapters 1 through 3 talk about. So he's saying, because of that, I am urging, I'm challenging, I'm calling you to walk a certain way. And it says, therefore, he says, I urge you. So we get this picture, urges us to live for his glory. He does not say, as he did in the Old Testament, if you obey me, I will bless you. Instead, since we are already blessed in Christ, now my response to his love and grace is just to simply obey him. So in love, he urges us, our response of obedience is just to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which we have been called. That calling is to salvation. It's to be a member and a part of God. As a member of the body of God, God through Paul urges us to individually, to each one of us, live for him. And he walks out what that looks like. Paul urges us each to walk in humility, not thinking too highly of ourselves, but thinking of others and putting their needs ahead of our own, seeking to understand where others are coming from, thinking about each part of the body and what it needs. Paul urges each of us to walk in gentleness. We get this picture of meekness, like a horse being tied to a chair or a fence post. It's power under control, dealing gently with each other and each member of the body. Paul urges each of us to walk in patience, being long-tempered, not easily angered with one another or another part of the body. Paul urges each of us to bear with one another in love. It's forbearance. It's love that suffers long and is kind. It's taking on another's burdens and walking with them, helping another part of the body along. And Paul urges each of us to walk with an endeavor, an eagerness to maintain unity, not forgetting convictions or abdicating responsibility or accountability, but in that standing united because we are one body. And Paul urges us to walk in the bond of peace. Peace comes from being united to Christ and united with each other. Paul is urging us to let the Spirit in us overflow and lead the way that we walk. As we went through that list, it looks a lot like the fruit of the Spirit. And that's because the fruit of the Spirit is who the Spirit is. It is who Jesus is. He's urging us to walk as Christ walked. Jesus walked in humility. Jesus deals gently with us. Jesus is patient with us. Jesus was even patient with the Pharisees. Jesus bears with us in love. He eagerly brings us to unity with himself, and he wants us to be at peace with him. So we are to walk in Christ, to walk in the Spirit, to walk in a manner worthy of the one who brought us our salvation. And I think our big question of why? And simply because the church is the body of Christ. So our salvation brings us intimately close to Christ. And as we come close to him, we're also brought intimately close to each other as we become the body of Christ. And in this body, there are no factions, there are no clubs. He's very clear. This brings us to point number two. The body is one. There is one body. 1 Corinthians 12, Paul gives us an in-depth picture of how the body is united as one in him. It says, as it is written, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. In football, if we're missing one lineman, we have a hole, and the quarterback is barely getting the ball before he goes down. A fishing net is made up of links that are all connected together. If one link is missing, we have a giant hole, and all the fish slip through it, and it becomes ineffective. If musicians are playing a song, and one of the instruments that has a part written in the music is missing, the whole song sounds like it's missing something. And when we are divided, or if someone is not playing their part, we are not whole and functioning effectively as the body of Christ. Paul says, we are one body, and he says we're one body filled with one Spirit, each and all filled with the same member of the Holy Trinity. The moment we met Jesus and gave our life to him, we were filled with the Holy Spirit, like we see happen in Acts 2, as the Holy Spirit filled each believer. The same presence of God now resides as we are following the Spirit's lead. So as we're following the Spirit's lead, we should all be going the same direction because the same Holy Spirit cannot contradict himself. The Holy Spirit unites us as a body as the presence of God is in our midst, inside of each one of us. He says we're one body filled with one Spirit, and he says we're called to one hope. We all have the same hope, the salvation of our souls and being united and brought face to face with God. And we share the same substance of that hope being the finished work of Christ. And we share the same Christ. We have one Lord, one anointed one that saves us all and that we all give our lives to, that is worthy of our devotion. And we have one faith, one place that we put all of our complete trust. And we have one baptism. That can mean three different things, or it can mean all of the three different things. It can mean that we all have the same filling of the Holy Spirit. It can all mean that we all have that same inward experience of dying to our old life and being raised to live a new life. It can also mean we have that same outward sign to which we show that we're a part of the body. And he says, and we have one God and Father of all, who is over all and in all and through all. And then the third point, he says the body grows. The body grows. So it's one body made up of individuals who all have a part to play. When Jesus, who had descended to be born and to live in this broken world, when he was going back to be seated at the right hand of the Father, he promised the Holy Spirit so that we would never be alone and always have God with us. And the Spirit gives gifts to each member. And we can look at verse 11, also up at the slide on the screen. Let me go back. In verse 11, it says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers. We see there are three different places in scriptures that we see the spiritual gifts listed in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4. So this isn't an extensive list. It's kind of, as you go through, there's some ways you can combine different ones from different lists, but that kind of covers all of the spiritual gifts listed in Scripture. And so we don't have time to go through each and every single one of them today and to talk about them, but as you leave today, or maybe you saw them coming in, there's a resource on the table out that door and this door that just talks more about spiritual gifts and kind of does a breakdown of each one of them that you can grab on your way out. And so when we talk about spiritual gifts, these are not things that we muster up and we do from within ourselves. They're not like natural talents, like being athletic or musical, which we can learn and develop ourselves. And as we practice them, like we would expect to see results. The more I practice an instrument, I would hope that I would see results. I would see myself getting better at it. Spiritual gifts are gifts of grace given by the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation, only given to born-again believers, and are a work of the Holy Spirit within us. And so they often surprise us because there are things that we realize that I couldn't have done that within myself. There's no way I could have taught like that. There's no way I could have been encouraging like that. That was something that Christ was doing in me. So Scripture is clear. The purpose of our spiritual gifts is for building up the body of Christ, to build up the body in unity, to build up the body in the knowledge of the Son of God, and to build up the body to maturity in the fullness of Christ. God has so specifically gifted each member of the body so that the body lacks nothing and has every member it needs. Each person with their natural abilities, their passions, partnered with their unique spiritual gifts, has a place to serve. You have a role. You have a position that matters immensely to the body of Christ and makes us whole as a body. When we look around and we see holes or gaps in the body, it's not because God forgot to give us someone who can serve in that way. It's because someone is sitting on the sideline and not exercising their spiritual gifts. The body has one part in a cast or a sling, and the rest of the body feels the impact of it. And a big question I know we all have is, well, how do I know what my spiritual gifts are? You're probably not going to like the answer, but it's really simple. It's just start serving. Just start doing. God will show you really quick if that's what he wants you to do or not, or if that's how he's gifted you or not. But that's how we see our gifts in action. And then other people see it, and they affirm those things in us, and they call them out. A really good example of how like our spiritual gifts work together with our abilities and passions, when we think about Wes as he led us in worship. Like, he's a really good singer, he's really good at the guitar, but that's not his spiritual gift. He has the natural ability to play guitar and has a really great voice, and we thank him for using that. And he has a passion for worship and worshiping God and playing music. His spiritual gifts, as I've spent time with him, he's a shepherd, he's a leader, he's an encourager. And so he uses those spiritual gifts with his natural talents and his passion to glorify God and to build up the body, to lead us in worship as we go to the throne room. So each member using their gifts makes the body whole and helps the body grow to maturity. Growing to maturity means the body is walking in a manner worthy of the calling to which it has been called. A mature body is not tossed to and fro by every wind of crazy and false teaching. A mature body recognizes truth from lies. A mature body is not deceived by human cunning or polished image or crafty speech. A mature body is speaking truth in love, seeking Christ above all else, standing on truth at all cost, and growing in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. I absolutely, in this passage, love verse 16. As we grow into every way into him who is the head, into Christ, it says, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each and every part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And so maybe when you start thinking about that and thinking about what part do I individually play in this, maybe you realize you've just been playing church for a really long time, but when you really sit down and get real, you realize you've never really given your life to Christ and are not actually playing a part in the body, because you're not actually a part of the body yet. And so today can be the day that you ask forgiveness for your sins. You can be saved by grace through faith, have that redemption through the blood of Jesus, and be brought intimately close to him and intimately close to your brothers and sisters in Christ as you're made a member of the body of Christ. And we know when each part is working properly, each part, everyone has a part to play, and every part matters. And so if that's you today and you need to make a decision, after we finish here in just a minute, there's going to be some people down front that you can stick around and talk to, and they would be more than happy to talk to you or pray about that. But what I want us to remember today is we are one body. We're one body striving to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which we have been called, that is building itself up in love and growing into the head, into Christ. And when each individual is walking in humility and gentleness, bearing with one another in love, being eager to maintain unity, working as one body with one hope and purpose, each exercising their own gifts and not just sitting on the sideline, the church grows into maturity and looks more like Christ. And God uses a church that looks like Christ mightily for his kingdom work.